This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, Mike Bassick.
Famous Mike Bassick.
That's right. Famous Mike Bassick. Excuse me. And Alec Medford.
There's some people that believe I'm so famous I can like do things that I can't imagine that I have the ability or power to do, which I don't, but people do believe I have it.
Is there an example that comes along with this, or probably not?
Fixed ballet.
Oh, there is, but I can't say
probably
on the
off air.
Air.
Yeah. I got you.
Wow, you believe I have that power. That is amazing.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. That's where
did somebody at the Rangers game tell you to tell Jerry to draft somebody or something? Is that what it was? They're like, Mike, go tell Jerry to draft us a running back. And you're like, I admit, I'm doing a
they
Rangers
told him
game,
to make
guys.
Zeke one guy, a usable back. And
one guy
like,
on
okay.
Friday before pregame started, we're out in left field, yelled at me, who do you think the Cowboys are taking in the second round? And I go, you are asking the wrong person that. I didn't even know who in the world was in the draft late in the first round. I just knew you were taking an offensive lineman, Tyler. So we got Tyler from Oklahoma. He's going to be great. Guyton, is that his name?
Dude, you did know.
I'm all over the place. Lying. You know what I'm saying? He's tall.
I feel like you're in on this.
He is. Yeah. I think more
he's
than
long
anything,
and strong and down to get the friction on. That's the best way to say your offensive tackle is going to be a solid player.
The first time I knew this, by the way, was last week when he said friction. I was like, that's the word? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, what? I did not know that. I thought it was freak S.
Could you name any other Cowboys draft pick?
Is BB the last name of the offensive guard?
Why do you know that?
Don BB?
Hey,
it's not Don BB.
Why do you
know that, Mike?
I just remembered like when I looked at the list of
correct.
Guys
Cooper,
you drafted for
Cooper
some reason.
Cooper BB, but that's why he knows that.
I texted it to us. I texted it to the group.
Well, I know we drafted an edge and a linebacker. I have no clue who they are, but they should be Hall of Famers. So
buy into us.
Yeah, thank okay. you. Thank you, Mike McCarthy.
All right, we will.
And then we drafted four other guys. Hopefully one of them ends up being good on Saturday.
Okay.
But what about undrafted free agents?
No clue.
Well,
you should.
Did
not look at a list.
I've been told it's our job to know all that stuff.
Oh.
It's y'all's job.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I feel great about
never
that.
Never mind. That's a different story for
you guys
time.
Talk about those 18.
All right. Let's go to cut number five, if we can. The amazing comeback and then ultimate disappointment of Mavs-Clippers game four.
Seven on the 24. Harden gets inside the floater. Count it and one. James Harden, big buckets here on the fourth.
Did you think
he said something else too?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Did you think after the Mavericks briefly took the lead, I'm not going to lie, I thought for sure they were going to win the game. Even though it was a 1-point lead or maybe a 2-point lead, I thought for sure the Mavericks are going to win because they had come all the way back.
Yeah, there was part of me that was like, oh man, they've done this. They're going to steal this away from the Clippers at the last minute. And then this is where the Clippers go, well, we gave everything we had, and they still had an answer. We go back to L.A., and we're done. Like, that was part of me thought that. But the other part was you had to fight so hard to get back almost 8,000 points just to be in that game.
Right.
You're exhausted by the end of that game.
If I have the moments correct, if Paul George doesn't hit the fadeaway three in the corner to give them the lead back, I do think the Mavs win. That one, and I get, James Harden had uncontested layup after uncontested layup to finish the game. It was the most amazing defensive philosophy I've seen the Mavs have at the end of a game.
I thought Derek Jones played really good defense on Paul George. I know Paul George
there's nothing you can do
at the last half second to get that shot off. at a ridiculous angle. That shot was amazing.
There's not the Mavericks did nothing wrong on that defensive possession. You played as great a defense as you can play. You just have to tip your cap if you have one on. You don't as a basketball player, so I guess you just salute them.
That's true.
But you just say, that's an unbelievable shot in a big moment, because I think the momentum there was all Mavs. And then you played unbelievable defense, and if that ball hits rim and you get that rebound, I think you win.
Because at that point, then you're up, because it was 105-104, and you just had the Kyrie, I don't know how in the blue hell that went in, but it was unfreaking believable. Not only because it came the lead, because it seemed to defy the laws of physics and everything like that. So if he misses that, then you do get the ball back. There's a minute and 50 left, and you have the lead and the ball. Obviously, I'm not saying the game's over for sure, but man, oh man, it feels like everything is on your side at that point.
It was like Paul George gave them the breath of life again.
Yeah.
Of like, we're okay, guys. We're going to still make our shots. And then from that point, it was like the Mavs thought, oh no, they're not going away. And then I don't know why the Mavs decided not to double team James Harden. I don't know why they decided to just let him go to the lane uncontested. Obviously, Jason Kidd said, we weren't going to allow them to shoot a three, and we were okay with giving them, he said, contested layups, but there wasn't one of the only one that was contested was from behind where Kyrie nicked his forearm, and it was a foul, and gave him the and one, but that was the only one that you could even say was
contested. I saw Luka step and put his hand out like two or three times. Yeah. He took a step and went, oh, man, you're already there.
But it was, and so once he got past that, it was the maxi, I realized, like, you're positioned where you're positioned. I would have loved a step forward to try to shake him, an arm up, or some level of challenge, which it could have easily led to another foul. I get it. Like, it what looked you saw like
Maxie,
with Kyrie.
It looked like Maxie thought he had help from Gafford behind him. He, you know, he was like, oh, I think Gafford's back there. Everything's going to be fine. And then he turned around and was like, oh, crap, there's nobody there. Yeah, no, every time it looked like he thought somebody else was there.
I guess my philosophy in the moment would have been, I've said this on Crosstalk, double off of Terrence Mann and let Terrence Mann shoot a wide open three.
And if it happens,
if it even makes it, he makes it, we lose. And I think that teams live on the Mavericks that way. They go, look, if Maxi Kleber, which he did make the 1-3, it was a big three-pointer, but they're like, look, if he makes a three, we lose. But we're going to rely on the percentages. The percentages say approximately 70% of the time in that situation, Maxie's going to miss it. And I would rely on the percentages going Terrence Mann in this big clutch moment. If he makes it, we lose. But I'm going to rely on the percentages that there's probably a 70% chance in this moment. It's just like Westbrook, it's probably 80% chance he's going to miss it. And Westbrook wasn't in the game to double off of him.
Still trying to figure out, like, what I take from this game, because once Kyrie drove to the hoop to give the Mavs the lead, by the way, when he drove to the hoop again on the next possession that would have tied the game, that's fine with me. Like, that guy is charging to the basket and getting work done. That's a play that I really like. I don't know what to take from this game going forward into game five, because if the Mavericks would have won, I get you're probably going to win because you're up 3-1. But more importantly, you just tied the biggest comeback in playoff history to go up 3-1. It feels like Clippers are done, done, done. Now the Clippers can look back at it. And I will say, Tyronn Lue, I thought, did have a really good point when he talked about how the Mavericks had come all the way back late in the game. And he told his team, hey, I don't care that they've come all the way back. Let's go win this game and none of that matters. And so I guess I do kind of feel like that. Like, good for the Mavs for making that comeback, making the game amazingly entertaining. But the Clippers can be like, hey, good for you. We won the game and it's 2-2.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to figure out now is if and how Jason Kidd utilizes Friday night's game again. Because what they did Friday night was that was exceptional. That was a fun game, an absolute blast. PJ Washington was making some things happen. How do you get back into that mindset of we come out from the get with our minds focused on defense and focused on making good shots?
I hate
that was,
this.
That was what they did Friday night.
This is not just a Mavericks issue. This is a human issue.
Sure.
The desperation of the other team played into effect, and the lack of desperation from the Mavericks played a major effect. When did the Mavs get desperate? At halftime?
Yep.
When they're like, are we really going to just let them win a game without us giving forth the best effort we have? At this point, We have to lay it all out on the line. Now, I don't know why they didn't do that at the start, but it's the human brain says, we're up 2-1. We're in a great position.
G-Bag has talked about that in the past.
Yeah, and so I hope that on Friday, to me, whoever wins Wednesday is the winner of the series. I hate putting, because it doesn't mean it's over. You'd still come back home if you lose in LA, and you would hopefully have the desperation of winning at home and then pushing it to a game seven. But for me, I think whoever wins game five wins this series.
You know the percentage offhand?
I think it's like 71%.
81.7%.
Way more than I thought.
0.7. Don't forget that 82%. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, 82% historically when the series is tied 2-2, whoever wins game five takes the series 82% of the time. So that's hard to argue again.
And there's very few people. I mean, this is obviously I'm bringing up the greatest of all time in my mind. Michael Jordan is for some reason there's very few people, and that's what puts him into an elite category that know how to kill another team.
Yeah.
And kill another. Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously there are people literally who know how
they
to kill
smell blood and
person,
they go for it.
But they know how to figuratively kill another team and demoralize them into trying.
Let me ask you something then. I know that the easy way to look at it is, hey, the Clippers are 2-0 without Kawhi and 0-2 with Kawhi. But what I wanted to point out is, isn't Kawhi the guy that has killed you in the past? And if he's not playing or...
Yeah, but we've never played James Harden.
In this situation. Okay,
I mean,
fair.
You did against Houston back when Rondo quit.
True.
But
does it make you feel any better that in this matchup, particularly the guy that usually kills you, he either isn't going to play or he is not anywhere near full capacity, or you like, I think Harden can fill that role.
Yeah, Harden's filling that role.
I mean, he definitely did yesterday.
He's killing us. Yeah. And he killed us in game one.
Yeah.
So if you slow down Harden... I think you win the game, but isn't Harden 50% from three in the series, even though you've won two of them?
I would have to check on that. I'm not sure.
I was listening, I believe, to Chuck Cooperstein, and he was kind of breaking down that I believe Harden in the series is shooting 50% from three.
I mean, I would believe it. He is shooting 50% from three, 54% from the field.
So that kill question to eliminate a team, to get rid of them, to get them off the court with you. Is that a mindset Luka has to have?
Yes, it is that he has to have it.
Does he have it?
He does not have it.
Because I don't know. Like, I feel like Kyrie's a very talented player. But if Luka walks up and everything's cool, then everybody else is like, everything's cool. If Luka walks up and goes, hey, get rid of these effers tonight, then... Isn't everybody going, oh, hold on, Luka's here tonight?
Dirk never had it until the end. And I guess not the end.
But it's a mental approach.
It's tough. It's tough to be, and let's face it, you kind of have to be a D-wad to have this mentality.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan's stories off court aren't great.
Yeah. I mean, punching Steve Kerr in the face isn't cool.
No.
But that's kind of the mentality you have to have. I will kill you if you do not want to kill for me. And so... In the realm of sports, especially basketball, where one player can dictate so much that you have to be able to turn into Dirk Nowitzki in 2011. And it was weird. I love Dirk, favorite basketball player of all time, and that will probably never change for me. Is that after he won the championship, he didn't really have that same mentality the rest of his career. It's like he got it. And I'm not saying he was a bad player.
That goes back to human nature, I think.
Yeah, it goes back to, and he didn't have the team to really do it, but at the same time, and never really the opportunity, it was like, do I really want to be that person?
Yeah.
And Dirk didn't really want to be that person. Michael Jordan doesn't have many friends. You know, Kobe had Derek Fisher. I swear to you, I feel like Derek Fisher was his only friend when he played
because
basketball.
You know why? His best friends were his championship rings, and he was like, that's fine. Yeah. Right? I'm not kidding about
that.
No,
you're totally right.
He's
totally
like,
right,
the only friends I need.
Yeah.
And probably so.
And that's and that's where, like, this is just another step in Luka's growth that he needs to have is, hey, you know what? I do have to be a different person when we're in these playoffs. We have to go to a different level.
It's another topic. He's tired in the fourth quarter because he wastes 20% of his energy yelling at refs.
Probably
so. It takes so much energy to fight things that you can't win.
But the other thing, too, though, and I mean,
he'll learn.
PJ was there for
it. It might be when he's 33.
Like, your dude was there for you. You got to be there for them now. You have to. Like, that's part of it, man. It's a next step Luka has to take.
And the good thing is, it sucks right now, but all of that is still possible. Like,
now. In this playoff run, it could happen.
You screwed up yesterday by getting down by 31. They played better than you. That's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes a team's going to make shots, sure. But you can't. No team is 31 points better than you in 18 minutes, unless you don't try very hard.
The 18 minutes part is astonishing to me. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the best picks, worst picks, best sound bites, and predictions coming out of the NFL draft. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
With the 29th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And obviously, we can talk about the Cowboys, but I really want to talk about the NFL draft across the board and a variety of selections, sound bites, and everything along those lines. I was reading an article from ESPN with Matt Miller and Jordan Reed. And one of the things that Matt Miller said that really fascinated me, wanted to get y'all's take on it. And it was the day two quarterback is dead. And so with the idea being, people elevate all of these quarterbacks into the first round either because A, they're afraid of losing them, or B, they want the opportunity for the fifth-year option on them. And that's why you saw six in the first 12 and then not another quarterback picked until 150 because they're like, if you're good enough to go in the second, you're good enough for me to take in the first.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's more optics than anything. Like, hey, we got a backup. He's a first-round pick. He could be here for 5 years. You know, We give him time to grow underneath. We couldn't lose him. Interesting. I never thought of it that way before.
I thought you only get 3 years, and then the player sits out, and then you have to give him everything he wants.
Hey, That happens sometimes.
Happens a lot more here, it feels
like.
And
then you, 5 years later, yell at the media.
Especially when they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Hey, those are fair points that you're making. I don't have a good retort for them.
When they don't win the Super Bowls, whenever you're like, got to give them that contract then.
That's a fair point.
What about when they blow out like their knee or their hips don't work anymore, but they have a major injury that they might need a surgery for and might not ever be the same?
Give them more money. I see where this is going.
Okay.
Did you have more?
So now what about Brock Purdy? Like he was the last pick in the draft.
Okay.
And he's a starting quarterback.
Okay. But that's kind of
outlier. Yeah, it's going to mostly be outliers.
But see, it's not even an outlier because that's a day three pick, right? Because one of the arguments is Like, you're losing the day two quarterbacks because people are like, I need a quarterback and I'll go round one. It's not to say that you won't pick them up in the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh, but you're seeing Bo Nix, Michael Penix, who maybe you might normally have thought was a second round pick.
Bo Nix should have gone day two. And agreed. Denver was like, we don't have a quarterback. We got to do something. So
and
that
Sean
happened.
Payton is arrogant enough to think he can take Bo Nix and make him a superstar.
That arrogant is a as fair gets. Point.
Penix probably should have been late first round. Could have gone in the second round too. But
should have been drafted around his age, mid-20s. Yeah,
overvalue. And like overvalue to a team that I have no clue what direction they're going.
Hey.
Neither do they.
I have a serious question. In the next 5 years, do you think the Cowboys will take a first-round quarterback?
No.
So all this that you're saying, every team has decided except for one?
Because that's what, look, that's what the Cowboys do, right?
I agree with you.
You didn't say should. Yeah. You said will.
I agree with you. I think as long as Jerry is alive, he will never take a first-round quarterback.
I agree.
And I'm assuming he's going to be alive for at least 5 more years. I could be wrong. It might be 3 years. It might be 30 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's going to die at some point.
I don't think they will.
I don't know if the philosophy changes at that point.
It's just interesting, I mean, specifically to the Cowboys, in that Mike McCarthy, whose history was just draft a quarterback every year because you never know. How many has he drafted since he's gotten here?
None, right?
None.
None.
DiNucci was a undrafted free agent. And so
he wasn't seventh round.
See, that's what I was trying to figure out. I thought he might have been a seventh round.
Oh, you know what? I didn't go back far enough. That was the CeeDee Lamb draft. So he was a seventh round pick. But other than that, they haven't drafted a quarterback.
Has anybody ever made better hats in their life?
Stop.
This is his philosophy,
though.
You can pick
one thing to complain about at a time, Mike.
This is his philosophy, is always draft a quarterback, have a guy around just in case, and the Cowboys have refused to do that along the way.
Dallas upside down. You tell me another person in the draft that's ever turned Dallas upside down.
Oh, that's a good point. We'll see. Got a whole bunch of quality picks. They could all turn.
What if we take a seventh-round quarterback next year and he changes Dallas back to the way it's supposed to be, right side up?
But then flips it backwards. Instead of upside down, he just flips it backwards, and it really says salad.
Yeah, it's a jerk.
Salad master! Well, I think the Cowboys did a great job.
I think it's an interesting look at the way the NFL is looking at it. Either you take it with the first round because the value's there and you get to keep the pick, or you just miss it completely in the second round.
It could be any position, any team. Is there a player that you look at this and you're like, that's the star out of this draft? Like, if I'm picking one guy, you're like, that guy.
I think Malik Nabers is going to be a star.
Okay.
I think in New York, he's going to shine really brightly. I think he's going to be an absolute star up there for sure.
Do you believe in Kyler Murray's, I don't know if rebirth is too strong of a term, but that Marvin Harrison Jr. can be like a 1,500-plus wide receiver with 10 touchdowns? And I don't think Kyler Murray can stay healthy enough, but can he stay healthy enough, and can he concentrate enough and focus enough to turn Marvin Harrison Jr. into a superstar?
For rookie year, let's say he did 1,208. Would that be pretty darn impressive?
Solid.
Okay.
Okay,
it Mike.
Would be, yeah, solid okay. is good, yeah. But you're not putting him in the top 10 receivers in the NFL
probably
off of that.
Not.
Mike, that's what you're going to get. I believe. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is already so polished and ready that, like, I'm kind of concerned about the next place for him to go to.
Okay.
Because I think he's that good already, and that you're going to be disappointed by his rookie season, because Justin Jefferson was picked so late that whenever he became the best one, you were like, whoa, hold on,
didn't
what
he have
happened
like 1,800
here?
Yards, or am I crazy about that?
Yeah,
Jefferson.
He was insane.
Is Marvin Harrison Jr. on the path of Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts was Tony Gonzalez and Jerry Rice combined in one player, from what I was told, in the draft. And Kyle Pitts has done absolutely nothing in his career impressive.
No.
But everybody will blame the quarterback for that. And I'm not saying they're wrong. Will we be blaming Kyler Murray for Marvin Harrison Jr. not becoming the best receiver in the NFL?
Actually, I think that it's likely.
I'm trying to look at somebody to compare him to, like, that would, over the last few years, you would be like, oh, like, that's, you expected him to be this good. He was exactly that good, and it was still kind of a letdown.
I know that I'm homering this. Is there a way that Jacksonville's wide receiver from LSU becomes Justin Jefferson because he got drafted into the best situation out of the first round wide receivers?
You don't think the Chiefs receiver?
this is what worries me, is Sky Moore, all of the retreads they bring in. I think it's maybe, and I'm not blaming this at all on Patrick Mahomes, I think it's more difficult to play with Patrick Mahomes than we realize. He's unbelievable, and he'll find you. But you have to have an IQ out there. Sky Moore has no IQ. He can't figure out how to get open on scrambles. You know, you think of Tyreek Hill, you might not like him off the field, but Tyreek Hill has this unbelievable IQ in scramble drills to know exactly where to go to make himself very available, not only for Patrick Mahomes, but now for Tua T. And so I do think you have to have a education on, yes, good route running, noticing where people are. And then when Patrick Mahomes gets into creative mode, which 30% of his throws are creative mode throws.
Vertical.
Is
just go vertical. Tell Pat, try and out throw me, bro. That's what I every time. Once he starts doing that, but everybody else can go sidelines.
But
I'm
like,
going vertical.
What doesn't like Hill though, Tyreek Hill? He'll run the opposite direction of the way that Patrick Mahomes was running and make himself available. Now it's an 80-yard throw across the field. It's only a 40-yard completion, but you have to throw it about 80 yards in that situation across the whole field and 40 yards down the field. But it was like Tyreek Hill knew exactly what Patrick Mahomes could do and would go to a place that nobody else would think about going to.
Xavier Worthy's speed is elite, nothing like it. But I think here's, like, can he get open frequently? Can he get open enough? And whenever it is vertical and he's beating his guy, because he will, he'll beat guys down the field, can he make the catch once it's there? That's my question.
What about Rome Dunze with the Chicago Bears?
Bears did good.
I want you to consider this. Now, I also want to go to Cut 15. This is a pair of Chicago radio hosts having a discussion with Rome, and even him being amazed by how terrible the Bears' offensive history is.
Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh. Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
How do you not know that?
Johnny Morris.
How many did he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
Oh, that's it.
In the career?
in the career, man. He played in the 50s and 60s,
Welcome
Rome.
Welcome to our world, Rome. Welcome.
In a career? Like, I love that response.
Who do you think?
Man, I wish I liked Caleb Williams more because he showed so many flashes, but he's
sure
to me, he seems childish, and you got to be a man in this league.
Well, or make elite plays, and you know, like he'll grow into it. I think he's got some really good receivers in that room now. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and now Rome, like that. Dude, he has the weapons. If you say, hey, when he was in college, he had all the weapons. They gave him all the weapons offensively here, but the top five receivers all time in receiving yards for the Chicago Bears. Number one, Johnny Morris.
Yep. Is Willie Gault in there?
Nope. Number two, Harlan Hill, of course. Mm-hmm. Brother Hank. Number three, Alshon Jeffrey, who y'all have heard of, at 4,549 yards. Number four, Walter Payton, the running back.
Well, he played a long time.
And number five, Mike Ditka, the tight end. So that's it, dude. Yeah, none of the receivers. Willie Gault's ninth.
All right.
Marty B was eighth.
That's one wide receiver. But since you mentioned Hank Hill, this is a natural transition.
Okay.
To Xavier Leggett. That's another wide receiver. He was picked up by Carolina. This is Xavier, cut number 14. He was asked about the reaction he's gotten to his accent.
Oh, yeah, man. They've been dragging it all over social media. Man, I just tell folk, man, they really just ain't never heard nobody talk for money.
I'm from South Carolina, so I get it. Do you have any nicknames? Do people from home call you a certain
name? They call me Zabro.
Zaber.
Zabra.
Zabra.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Where did that come from? How did that originate?
Say what was
up? How did that originate?
Oh, I don't know. My cousins, they just started calling me at this store.
I love him, dude. So I love that guy so much.
The Boomhauer comparison was definitely
I love
there.
Listening to that guy talk. Did you hear her, though? Do you have any nicknames?
Yeah.
She fell into it.
He looks so happy, dude, when he's up there. Like, he looked so happy while he was talking to the media during this.
I got to talk to my guy, Brian Broaddus, after this show is over, because I think he might be coming to the Jacksonville bandwagon. First of all, he's good friends with Coach Peterson. And then in the first four rounds, Jacksonville takes three LSU players. Let's go. Let's go, Brian Broaddus. Let's Jacksonville it up. Let's podcast. I think Broaddus and Bassick need to have a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast.
Love a Duval.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That would actually be kind of amazing. Yeah. By midseason, how many...
Peter and son.
I support
that. Or the coach.
No, I got it. By midseason, how many of these rookie quarterbacks will be starting?
By midseason?
By midseason.
I would say, for sure, Penix isn't.
Okay. That's fair.
All the others, yes.
Okay. So you think it could be five of them?
Who? Which other one do you think won't by week nine, let's say?
Yeah, no, I...
Because you're saying mid-season. Yeah. If you're saying to start the season, I could see where Bo Nix, sure. They don't start Bo Nix
to start
the year.
But they all have a relatively clear path in front of them. I wonder if... Do you think there's any chance Drake May would sit
about
behind
to say,
Jacoby Brissett?
They like Brissett.
For four... It feels like Brissett's the four-week quarterback guy. Yeah, so sense. I can see for That's, four.
But there's 17 games now, so maybe it's five.
Yeah, okay.
I moved it to five.
For now.
Five and a half. Four and a half.
Yeah, I don't. I see that.
Okay, so you think you go
most
five.
Teams, unless you have like an Alex Smith or a Kirk Cousins or something like that.
All I'm saying is Bailey Zappi's still there. Oh, but Belichick's not. So all right,
yeah, have a shot.
God, at what point will people realize they've drafted another North Carolina quarterback?
Well, if they sit in the first year, they're like, hey,
a year and a half in. I'm giving you 2025 week nine, they're like, oh my God, did we get Zach Wilson Morris or whatever? Fart knocking quarterback.
Interesting.
Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Somebody texted in and said that Spencer Rattler will start by midseason.
He's New Orleans?
Behind Derek Carr and Jake Haener at the moment. But
is that Spencer?
And Kellen Mond's like,
wait,
the fifth
is Spencer Rattler
there.
From here? Is he a. Is
he
a
went to
Dallas?
OU. Caleb Williams replaced him, and then...
I don't know what high school he went to.
I'm just
to.
Wondering if this is a high school friend or a family member from Spencer Rattler that's texting this in. I bet he has some relationship to Spencer Rattler who's putting that in here.
Pinnacle High School. I don't know where that is.
And this is really nice.
At the top.
But that makes sense. This is really nice from the 817. It made my day to meet Kevin at Worth Collecting. I was in Waxahachie, and guess what? I got a couple of autographed Brett Hull jerseys for Peace-a-thon.
That's awesome.
Wow. Brag a little bit more about your life.
Yeah.
For
I
the
get to
charity.
Hang out with Brett Hull.
Man, hung out with Brett Hull on Saturday.
Man,
I'm so cool.
Hold it
Brett
up.
Hull has some fiery sports opinions.
He's awesome, dude. I love Brett Hull. Come on. Have Hull.
I got one inscribed for Peace-a-thon.
Did you get a St. Louis Blues jersey?
No, I got Dallas Stars.
Well, why not? He's a St. Louis Blue.
The hell he is.
Oh,
coming
yeah?
up next.
Go back to their championship recently.
It's time.
See when he was drunk
for
singing.
Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Hey, I want to hit better.
Fair.
Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I was definitely hoping we came back right at the break. Now it's time... Wait for it.
Are you trying to hit the post?
Oh, it's going to take too long. Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Hey. Wyatt Langford, home run.
Yes!
Off the wall.
He's so fast.
He didn't even run fast
it's
to first
home,
base.
It's not a home run if it doesn't go over the fence, Mike.
The no,
it's
not. Inside the park home run. Even better. Even better.
Baseball Reference does not have it listed as a home run. It does not have him having a home run on there yet.
Are you sure?
What?
I looked this morning.
I'm 99% sure he does.
Whoa.
I looked this morning. Maybe I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
Did you look it up, or are you just saying that?
I have another thing brought up right now, but let me type in baseball references. This was not where I was going to do.
So, Mike, it says
I'm pretty sure that Wyatt Langford has a home run on his stat sheet.
It says, you know,
one home run, batting 248.
It changed this morning.
Oh, it changed this morning.
Okay. It just changed just now.
I don't know at what, to be honest, I don't know at what point they put in the stats from the game before into baseball reference, but it's there right now.
This morning I looked, it said he had a hit in that game, but it did not say he had a home run, but now it says home run.
Okay.
He still has 25 hits and 24 strikeouts.
Well, that's better.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, so yesterday, the Rangers get four hits in the first inning with two outs, nobody on. They score four runs, and then they got two hits the rest of the game. So it was an interesting game in that you did score four. You've been struggling to score runs in the first three innings. The Rangers,
and at the end of the game the night before,
you scored four.
Yeah.
But if you look at the first three innings of the game, your first time through the lineup, and maybe even a little bit of your Seager and Semien getting their second at-bats, on the homestand before yesterday, the Rangers had scored two runs in 15 innings. In those first three innings, five games, you'd only scored two runs. You had a solo shot from Evan Carter, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the other run they scored at home. And it's just, that's not the Rangers that we remember in 2023.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a new season. I get it. You don't have Josh Jung, one of your better hitters in your lineup. And they're saying at least six more weeks, I think.
Yes.
So you're looking at probably mid to late June is when you're going to get Josh Jung back. It is what it is. But I still like the lineup on paper. The lineup on paper should be doing better. That being said, I think this gives you an idea on where the Rangers position players are right now. Remember last year, how many position players were All-Stars? Five. You had five position players that were All-Stars. So ESPN put out their April All-Stars and their April disappointments for each position in the National League and American League. We'll concentrate here in American League. Catcher, I think this is a little bit unfair because he DHs so much, but Salvador Perez is the all-star at catcher.
What percentage of the time do you think you need to be actually catching versus whatever else to qualify for that?
70%.
Okay.
Not 70% of your games, because that would be almost 100%. You're gonna catch about out of 4 days or 4 out of 5 days as a catcher. You're gonna get 1 out of 5 games off, most likely.
Yeah.
But out of those games, I think you should be, let's say out of 5 games, you should be catching 3 and DHing 1, let's say.
Yeah.
But Salvador is a little bit different. So I won't go over any Jonah Heim not on the list at all. First base, Josh Naylor, Cleveland Guardians. Obviously, the Rangers have had an issue at first base because Jared Walsh started. He's now designated for assignment. And now you have your first baseman back in Lowe, but he hasn't done anything to qualify for like an all-star. He's barely played in the month of April.
And Naylor's been playing outstanding.
Yeah. And by the way, biggest disappointment, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. His career's been a disappointment, to be honest. Second base, Jose Altuve. Now, their team is not having a good year.
Yeah.
But if you look at Jose Altuve's stats, he's having a good year. Now, luckily, I mean, Marcus Semien is having a solid year right now, but doesn't get it. Third base, you don't have one really. Josh Smith obviously replacing Josh Jung. They have Isaac Padres, if I'm saying. I know I say it wrong every time. I'll get it right at one point in my life. But he's the Tampa Bay Rays. He's actually my third baseman on my fantasy team, so I know he's having a good year. Shortstop, maybe a little bit of MVP right here, Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson is really having a great year. It says biggest disappointment, Javi Baez. I'm going to stop right here. I have not seen in Corey Seager's career. Do you remember the stat when they had the major shift and they said, look, do you know who's going to benefit the most from this? It's Corey Seager. Why? Because he pulls the ball so much. If you're watching Corey Seager this year, and this is just my thought, okay? He has to still be hurt. He is late on so many fastballs this year. I know he hit a home run in the ninth inning the other day on a slider, lefty on lefty, and that's great. And I do know that he's going to figure it out or hopefully get healthy. What I just don't know is, can he get healthy by playing every day, or is that torque on his hip area, lower, you know, upper leg area, is that going to allow him to really get healthy? Because he's late on a lot of fastballs and he's fouling them off into the bleachers on the third base side. And I just don't recall last year a lot of foul balls for him that were hit opposite field foul balls and really just barely getting the bat on him to keep him out of the catcher's glove. And so I'm just wondering with Corey Seager, because coming into this year, best shortstop in the American League.
Yes.
But so far, he's just been late on the fastball.
If I told you, I just don't see how, especially with the way he hits, I don't see how you can get healthy staying out there.
Yeah.
Like, he has a violent swing.
Yeah. Is that a fair?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the therapist. I'm not the doctor. I'm not the trainer.
That's just my take.
It's a good question to ask. Can Corey Seager be the guy that he was last year playing through rehabbing an injury?
If
his on certain numbers, his worst year was 2019. I have no clue what happened in 2019, all right? But some of his worst percentages on like hard hit balls and line drives and stuff like that were in that year. 40% hard hit percentage. Right now he's at 37.8. That's the lowest of his career. Kevin, his highest was last year at 53. So that's a big drop off on hard hit percentage. Yeah. Then the next one is line drive percentage. His lowest was 26%. He's at 19 right now.
So my concern is like,
I agree with you on the injury.
If he incrementally gets better, like let's say he had to sit out a month. I'm just making that up. Like let's say he had to sit out a month to get fully healthy. But if he plays for the next month, he gets 50 to 60% better. Is that good enough for you?
But knowing that, like, in the next month.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's my concern is like with Josh Young, with Josh Young's
injury.
Is
that a Mike-ism right there?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know, man.
Man.
I don't know. I felt like I've never heard you say something like that before. So it's just kind of different.
With Josh Young's injury, that's where I just don't know if you can do that for this time.
So when we get to the outfield, we finally have a Texas Ranger on the All-Star list. Juan Soto, Adolis Garcia, and Dalton Varsho. So you do have a Ranger who made this list of April All-Stars. Adolis, obviously, big home run yesterday to start the game off. He's in a little bit of a slump, hopefully getting out of it.
But his overall numbers for the
overall numbers good. Very good, and that's why he is one of the three outfielders on this list. Now, we do have a keep an eye on, and it's because he kind of went deep yesterday off the wall for a home run. Is Wyatt Lankford, keep an eye on him at designated hitter. Right now, it's Yordan Alvarez, and he's probably not going to be better than Yordan Alvarez this year. But it says, we had to put a yellow light on Lankford's rise to stardom. Perhaps we all got a little too ambitious about his future after he tore it up in spring training, or maybe it's just a slow start. While he hasn't homered yet, so obviously this wasn't written yesterday after the game, Lankford hasn't been overmatched either. I suspect the long ball will start showing up soon enough.
I want to talk about one specific part about that, because I do care about the other part of it in terms of the long ball showing up. How much is it a big deal that he hasn't been overmatched? Because that's what we did see with like Jackson Holliday, for example. He absolutely got overmatched, and they're like,
he struck out 50% of his at-bats.
And they're like, hey, take it back for just a second. Let's see if we can figure it out. I know the pop hasn't been there, but Lankford hasn't looked bad. And plus, he's been the victim of more terrible strike calls than anybody in Major League Baseball this season.
Yeah, and you know, Julio Rodriguez was like that his rookie year. I don't know what it is or why it is. Obviously, it usually is a rookie. Yeah, and you know, umpires can't really do that anymore. I guess they can, but it used to be way different, where they'd call ball 6 inches outside consistently and just see how they were going to react. And as long as they respected the umpires around the league, then they would start giving them, you know, better calls, which isn't right. And I'm glad that that's pretty much over in baseball, but maybe it's not completely over, because Wyatt Lankford does at times get balls, obviously the most so far in Major League Baseball. And I can remember Julio Rodriguez in 2022. He got off to a slow start, and they were saying, gosh, one, he's off to a slow start. Two, he's getting a lot of balls called strikes on him, which isn't really fair to him trying to get out of this slump. So hopefully, my point being, as I run out of time here, is the Rangers are over 500, and that's great, and they have the day off today, and they're hanging in there. But I don't know if you can go a whole nother month with this offense just doing this and keep playing a little bit over 500. Luckily, the bullpen has been way better. How about Jacob Latz? All of a sudden, now he's an eighth inning lefty guy?
Man, if you take out that one really rough outing that he had, his numbers are unreal this year.
Yates has been perfect. Robertson has been really good. Yep. Jose Leclerc has seemed to found the role that suits him.
Did you see, it was the quote from Marcus Semien. I think it might have been 2 days ago. He goes, If our offense was playing the way it did last year with this bullpen,
yeah,
we might not have lost the game.
Yeah, and so hopefully the month of May, and I know this month isn't over, but coming to a close, hopefully the guys that are potential all-stars really have a good May. They're good enough to do it. We've seen it. Even Evan Carter, I know it was a short sample size. But, man, if this team can get, like, three or four guys hot at the same time, which right now you're only, like, getting one guy hot at one moment with eight guys being below average of what we think they can be, if three or four of these guys can get hot for, like, a week straight, they should start putting up what we think is they should be averaging five runs. It's just that good of a lineup. It's just not producing in the month of April like we thought.
So you're saying that if there is a month that is going to be a good month for the Rangers, it's going to be May.
Yeah, that's what I think I said. I'm hoping.
Are you familiar with the meme that he's making reference to?
Nope.
We're going to listen to some NSYNC in the... Yeah.
Bye.
It's going to be May.
Okay. That's Justin Timberlake and the others?
Yeah.
Golly.
I don't know.
Lance Bass. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Right here on.
I don't know that I can name the rest.
Three the fan.
Doug.
No, and the main reason I know Lance Bass, first of all, I think he went to outer space or wanted to. And also, my wife said she had a big crush on him. And the day he came out as gay, all these people were calling her and been like,
what?
Hey, are you doing okay? Yeah.
Are you serious?
That happened like a really long time ago.
She was already married, but still hoping Lance Bass was coming around?
No.
Oh.
Coming up next. Talk around and find out. Did the Stars finally figure out the key to beating Vegas?
I don't know.
Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.